was at 10 o'clock today that the first of all time machines began its career. I gave it a last tap, tried all the screws again, put one more drop of oil on the quartz rod, and sat myself in the saddle. I took the starting lever in my right hand and pressed it over to its extreme position. The night came like the turning out of a lamp, and in another moment came tomorrow. The laboratory grew faint and hazy, then fainter and ever fainter. Tomorrow night became black, then day again, night again, day again, faster and faster still. An eddying murmur filled my ears, and a strange, dumb confusedness descended on my mind. I felt a nightmare sensation of falling, and then, looking around me, I saw that I was no longer in my laboratory. Had you going there, didn't I? Now, don't worry. We're not doing a musical version of The Time Machine. This story doesn't have much to do with H.G. Wells, although I can't help thinking that the maestro would have liked it. You see, Bertie's wonderful stories from all those years ago were not only multi-layered slices of steampunk genius, most of them were also funny. People wouldn't credit that these days. Of course, the literary conventions of those far-off times were more melodramatic. A fantastic tale had to be coaxed along by a dry, ironic and loquacious narrator. And you know what? I love all that. So you might just catch me sliding into my Richard Burton impressions during the course of this story. You can blame H.G. Wells for that, if nothing else. Anyway, time travel. In our story, the characters jump back and forth through time. Nothing original there, you might say, but imagine a scenario in which one gets to where one is going, and upon arrival, one is no longer oneself, but someone entirely different. Yes, I can see your intrigue thinking about it. I mean, it opens up a whole new vista of potentially paradoxical interactions. I mean, take for example... Nah, you're not getting off that easy. You will have to sit through the 2 hours traffic of our stage, my friend. And what's missing here, our toil will strive to mend. Ken Branagh, eat your heart out.
Good afternoon. This is the BBC Home Service and it's workers' playtime.
I'm in the parlour of a two-up, two-down council terrace, and judging by the decor, it's about 1960. I have no idea what I'm doing here or how I got here, but I'm sitting on a hardback dining room chair holding an acoustic guitar, and sitting opposite me, bent double over his guitar, is a young man of about 20, peering through thick National Health glasses at a lyric sheet lying on the floor. A radio is on in the front room, and I know, don't ask me how, I just know that there's a middle-aged woman in there doing the ironing and singing along to Housewife's Choice. Oh dear. You know, this environment has all the characteristics of a hyper-realistic dream. There's a lot of stuff in here from my half-remembered childhood. The smells, for instance. Boiled cabbage from the kitchen, an open door only feet away. Also, alarmingly but authentically, body odour. People in 1960 didn't wash as much as we do, and a house like this wouldn't have had a bathroom. Tin bath hanging on the kitchen wall. Yes, there it is. 6 inches of warmish water for the whole family once a week on a Friday. My nan's place in Walthamstow was just like this. But we're not in London, we're in Liverpool. And most of the body odour seems to be coming from the youth sitting opposite me. He straightens up and shouts at the wall.
Mimi, turn the radio down. I can't hear myself think.
Merrily rocking in Boston, Philadelphia, PA. Deep in the heart of Texas, down by the Frisco Bay. All over California, down in New Orleans. All the cats want to dance with sweet little 16.
Sean,
sweet little 16.
Sean.
What?
It's been overdone, man. Everybody does this one. Why can't we do something else? You know, words and music by a 35-year-old American paedophile. Surely we can do better than that.
Hey, that's Chuck you're talking about. He's American and he's black. He can do no wrong. We don't judge him, all right?
Well, maybe not, but, I mean, 16, it's been done before. Chuck Berry, Neil Sedaka. I suppose it's just an easy word to sing. I tell you what, let's take chances. Make it a year older.
17. Yeah, you can't be sweet, 17. There's too many syllables.
Well, you can if you start with it. It'll hit harder if it's an intro. We will need another line for a hook, though.
Ah, all right, I'll bite. Well, she was just 17.
Your line.
You know just what I mean. And the way she looked was more than I could bear.
We'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that bit.
How could I dance with another? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hang on. What's with the yeah, yeah, yes?
I like yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know you like yeah, 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 but it doesn't go yeah, yeah, yeah. It goes woo.
No, it doesn't. It goes yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't like yeah, 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 but I do like woo.
Well, I don't like woo, but I do like yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you do you?
Yeah, I do, don't I?
You can't have a yeah, 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 because it doesn't go like that.
It doesn't go like anything. We haven't fucking written it yet.
Excuse me. Less of that language in this house, John Lennon. Your songs are not so important that you have to swear about them. I've told you before, your music's fine, but you'll never earn a living from it.
Sorry, Mimi. We didn't see you standing there.
Well, she was just 17. You know what I mean. And the way she looked was more than I could bear.
We'll come back to that bit.
Well, how could I dance with another? Ooh, when I saw
then the lights go out, and I'm falling. No, hang on, I'm floating. And there's lights back on again, yes. Coloured ones. Ah, pretty lights. I'm laughing. No, I'm miserable. No, hang on. Whoa. And now I'm on a completely different chair in a completely different room. Well, I say chair, but it's more like a saddle. A saddle which appears to be integral to some grotesque steampunk edifice. Iron, ivory, quartz crystals and brass compete in a shimmering and surreal display, and the sinister totality of the contraption seems to flicker and quiver as if at odds with the solidity of its surroundings. And if that sounds like H.G. Wells' description of his time machine, well, that's exactly what it looked like. However, even H.G. Wells couldn't have imagined that, upon returning from one of his expeditions, he would be greeted by an idiot Scotsman grinning down at him.
You all right, laddie?
How many fingers am I holding up? He does some business with his hands that makes it impossible to count the fingers. It's not very funny, and I don't laugh.
Right, memory loss. I saw that in the manual.
That's quite common. I bet you can't even remember who you are or why you're here.
Don't be daft, of course I can.
Hang on, you're right. I can't remember who I am.
Oh, I think I'll feel a panic attack coming on.
There's no need for that. It'll only be temporary. And it's quite common in these modern games anyway. The architecture is so bound up with the subconscious mind of the player, they often forget who they were on the outside.
Game? What game? I don't play games.
Well, evidently you do. You're in something called Flipside, and you've been returned to the home page.
And who are you then?
Well, that's an easy one to answer. I can be anyone you want me to be. I'll just get behind my desk here, go into the setup screen, and you can pick whatever name or silly voice you prefer.
I'm not interested in all that. If this is a game, there must be a default, a factory setting. What's yours?
Well, my default name is Virgil.
Ah, right. Dante Alighieri is travelling companion through the realms of the afterlife, Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso.
Exactly. The game designers were well versed in classical literature, you know.
So that's what you are then, is it? Some kind of a spirit guide?
I'm a spirit guide if you like. Master of ceremonies maybe, manager, roadie, I'm just here to help.
I looked around and for the first time I noticed where I actually was. It's like the lobby of a holiday camp bar, a reception area, an amusement arcade combined. There's a vintage bally wizard four flipper. There's a wall of old one-armed bandits, sharing some space with the more modern digital fruit machines. Look over there, there's a shove penny machine still using old coins. One of those crane doodahs that pick up soft toys and drop them down the chute.
Allegedly, anyway. I don't know anyone who ever got one.
There's a Space Invaders machine, a ping pong, and creepiest of all, The Laughing Sailor in the Glass Case. Now that one used to really freak me out as a kid. The Wellesian time machine on which I'm still seated seems to fit right in with such company. All right, Virgil, imagine I know nothing, which is actually true, and tell me about this Flipside game. You know, pitch it to me.
Pitch it to you.
All right. Imagine Forrest Gump meets Butterfly Effect meets Guitar Hero. Whoa, that's a lot to be chewing on, but I reckon I can pick the bones out of it. Let me guess. Now, Forrest Gump means you move through time, bumping into all the key moments of history that change the world.
Correct.
And the Guitar Hero bit means they're all based on the music industry.
But the Butterfly Effect side of things means that, unlike Forrest, who was just an idiot who was in the right place at the right time, the player in this can interfere with history, participate, change things,
and then go forward in time to see what you've actually done. You see, you can create your own musical culture.
So why did you pull me out of that John Lennon thing that I was in before?
Because you were just repeating history, pretending to write a song that already exists. I had to get you out at the 15th bar before you breached copyright.
How do you mean?
We've not got permission to use actual Beatles songs in this game. Your task was to contribute something original.
All right, I get it now.
Alright, send me back in, Scotty, and I'll have another go.
Righto, strap yourself in, laddie.
A large brass lever appeared as if from nowhere behind the reception desk. Virgil pulled on it, and then the room began to shiver and shimmer as if reality itself were dissolving into liquid. I felt a churning sensation in my stomach, colours danced before my eyes, and then, in an instant, everything went black. Well, that was easy. Here I am, back in Liverpool, 1960, and there's John, and I'm just about to launch into something on my guitar, but no, John's preoccupied, isn't he? He's bent double over some aging typewritten sheet, just like in that old photo. He's obviously preoccupied with something. He looks up.
My granddad died yesterday.
Yesterday? All my troubles seem so far away.
What are you on about?
Nothing, just the title of a silly film.
Sounds foreign.
Might as well be for all the sense it makes. What's that down there?
This down here?
Yeah, that down there.
Well, this down here is a set of words he typed out years ago for a song he used to do in the concert party during the war, entertaining the troops.
The First World War?
First World War. He was reprimanded for defeatist behaviour when the brass heard about it, but they couldn't make the charge stick because everybody liked the song, including the officers.
Yeah, let's have a go at it on my banjo, see if I can remember the chords.
The general said, chin chin, we're off to fair Berlin. Believe me, boys, the roads will all be clear. But they've flooded all the drains and blown up all the trains, and you can't get there from here.
I know that song. My nan used to sing that. It's an old music hall tune. I can't remember the original words.
Well, my granddad made up new ones, didn't he, for the lads? I've got a verse down here as well. Let's have a go at that.
The general doffed his cap and pointed at the map. Yeah, we'll find a big gap in the line. We push with all our might and soon we'll end the fight. We'll be in fair Berlin by winter time. But the map was upside down. We ran around like clowns and fairly soon we're back where we began. Then a jerry counterattack drove us half a mile back. You'd think the Kaiser had a better plan.
Together now,
right? Oh, the general said, chin chin, we're off to fair Berlin. Believe me, boys, the roads will all be clear. But they've flooded all the drains and blown up all the trains, and you can't get there from here.
That was the best George Formby impression I've heard in years.
I've always been a big fan of his.
That sounded a bit like a second verse. Where's the first one?
Oh, on another bit of paper somewhere, I don't know, lost in action, presumably.
Yeah, missing, presumed dead.
Like most of his mates.
Oh, what a lovely war that was.
Oh, what a lovely war. So how does your version of this song go, then?
Well, it's not really my version, is it? But I seem to remember my nan used to sing it a bit like this.
So, talk me through it again. I have to find a friend to tell why these directions are so queer. I've been down every line, I've followed every sign, and you can't get there from here.
I wonder what it was about.
Well, it probably had 27 verses that nobody remembers. But
I should think it was just like all other popular songs. People's hard lives and expectations made funny, put behind a good chorus they can sing to and pick up quick. One day you'll probably be able to study this sort of thing at art school, like folk art. Anyway, what do you want to do with it, John? I mean, we're not squatters and we're not music hall, we're a rock and roll band.
So's Billy Jay, and he does a rocked up version of Beautiful Dreamer, which is over 100 years old.
Yeah, and Elvis did Wooden Heart, which was written in 1827, even older.
And Jerry Marsden, bless him, has started doing You'll Never Walk Alone from that crap musical carousel. He does it as a 12 over 8 Fats Domino type thing. It works quite well.
Yeah, and another one. Joe Brown, the Cockney lad off Boy Meets Girl on the telly. He started doing Henry VIII, I am, like a Chuck Berry type thing.
Oh yeah, that's right, I've heard that one.
I am Henry VIII, I am Henry VIII, I am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married 7 times before, and everyone was an NRA. She wouldn't have a Willie nor a Sam. I'm an 8th old man named Henry. Henry the 8th I am.
Yeah, Joe got a good flip side out of that one.
Ah, flip side my arse. That was a top 10 single.
Well, whatever. What are we going to do with this new song?
Well, I could try stretching the bars out and see if I could make it work like that.
La da ba da ba ba da ba ba da ba ba da 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 ba ba da ba 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 da ba 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 ba.
John. What? It doesn't work, Whack. It drags. Can't you hear it? I don't think there's any way into it from that direction.
Well, I can definitely hear something in there, so I've got to carry on with it. You can sod off.
Hey, don't be like that. I'm only trying to be constructive.
Well, you're not being constructive, are you?
All I'm trying to say is it'll never be a hit. It'll only ever be a flip side. And what's the point of putting all that work into a flip side?
Well, I believe in it. And if you don't think it's worth spending time on, then you can...
Oh, no, not again. I feel happy. I feel miserable. God, there's got to be an easier way of doing this, surely. I should bring a book to read next time, shouldn't I? Anyway, and I'm back in the chair.
Bloody hell, Virgil, you want to be a bit more considerate with your extraction procedure. I was making history in there.
Yeah, sorry about that, but an alert came up on the screen and I've got to move you onto another task. You're dipping on bass with the Johnny Angel Band in 30 minutes.
Who's Johnny Angel? I've never heard of him.
Stuart Sutcliffe is the regular bass player, and he's called in sick.
Hey, wait a minute. Is this some alternate reality thing, like in the Butterfly Effect? I mean, what year are we talking about here?
It's 1963. Johnny Angel and the host is John Lennon's band.
Well, what happened to the Beatles?
Yeah, no Beatles, I'm afraid. They never existed in this timeline.
What? You mean me mucking about with the past has destroyed the Beatles?
Well, maybe so. Maybe it's something else. It could be something another player did.
Another player?
Yeah, that's what the flag was about. Someone else has joined the game. We could be working to their agenda now. That's why I have to move things on.
Hang on, you never told me this was a multiplayer game.
Well, do I have to tell you everything?
Where would be the fun in that?
Right, I'm sorry. This is one head fudge too far. I don't do competitions because music is not a competitive sport. You tell me this is the home page? Right, I want to exit the game and get back to my normal life.
Right, old laddie, there is the door.
And so I leap out of the machine, I stride over to the double doors, push them open, and it's a brick wall.
All right, very clever.
Up the stairs then. There's bound to be a door up there somewhere. So I race up the stairs, I turn a corner, and it's another brick wall. Right, the door to your office. Come on, out the way, you Scottish git. I push past him, I open the door behind his reception desk, and yes, it's another brick wall.
Why don't you try this one? There's no brick wall in there.
Right, thank you very much, Virgil. I'd like to say it's been a pleasure, but it hasn't. I'm getting back to my life now. Goodbye. I open the door and stand in total darkness for about 10 seconds before pushing it back open and sheepishly re-entering the room, knocking over 2 gallon containers of cleaning fluid and a mop as I do so.
Are you done now? Or are there any more broom cupboards you'd like to explore?
Yeah, very funny. Good gag. But seriously, how do I exit the game?
Maybe you don't really want to. That's what all the brick walls are telling you.
Well, how do you know that I don't?
I don't know anything. But all I can say is you seem very sure of yourself for somebody who cannot even remember why they came in the first place.
Oh, right, that's a good point.
I reckon that for you, the only way out of the game is through the game.
Right, we'd better press on then, eh? Tell me, how do we get to this gig?
Through that door over there.
What, that one that says exit only?
That wasn't there before.
I know. It's all clever stuff, this. Come on.
So we push through the door,
and we're out on a busy Soho street. It's dark, it's raining, and there's hundreds of people and neon lights everywhere. Yeah, Virgil, I've been thinking, how am I supposed to work in this reality when I know nothing about it?
That's easy. You catch up on Wikipedia.
And then he throws a tablet at me, which I catch and switch on.
Oh, so there's internet inside computer games now, is there?
Hey, surprisingly good service, actually. You should check out Alan Freeman's History of Popular Music. That's the best one.
And so we take to the crowded streets and head into town. The bright screen burns words and pictures into my brain. And as we walk, I Google Fluffypedia, where the late Alan Freeman, God bless him, tells a story of the beat boom of the 1960s. A story I've heard 1,000 times, but which in every telling has been completely wrong. It ties up till about 1962, and that's where it all starts to seriously diverge. And so it comes to pass, as if in holy writ, that the Searchers sign a contract with Brian Epstein, land George Martin as their producer, and spearhead the British invasion into North America.
Here, hang on a minute. If the Beatles never existed, there's a whole lot of songs floating about that I could claim that I wrote. Nah, that's a crap idea.
Almost crap enough for Richard Curtis. I'll give him a ring tomorrow.
Oi, Virgil!
What do you want?
Here's your tablet back, mate. Very interesting reading.
Laddie, according to my schedule, your first task will be in here.
Well, it don't look much like a rock and roll gig to me, Virgil. Looks more like a Victorian theatre. Ooh, smells like one too.
Appearances can be deceptive. I'm sure it'll all make sense once you get inside.
Well, you keep talking about a task, but how am I supposed to approach it?
I can't stand around while you prevaricate. I've got stuff to do now. I'll be back for you later.
Yeah, don't go. Wait a minute. No, I suppose I'll get a plate of cockles out of it. I've just been shoved through the double doors of the old Empire Theatre, which has been rescued from decrepitude for tonight's performance and given a new lick of paint. Lovely. The smell hits me as I'm swallowed up by the crowd. The great unwashed, oh, I'd say. 200 punters in period costume, all shapes and sizes. It's like a film set, but no cameras. There's a small orchestra fiddling about stage left, and the pianist pumps out vintage Boogie Woogie. By the far wall, Molly's seafood stall contributes significantly to the smell, as does Big Joe's bar. Big Joe resplendent in a satin yellow waistcoat and big handlebar moustache. Trestle table, wooden barrels, pewter mugs, and one brand of gin only served from ceramic jugs. Now, you really can tell just by casting your eyes about that every individual in this house has grown into their clothing and has a story to tell which no film extra could ever aspire to. You see, these are the people who don't matter. They never did. They haven't got the vote, and their lives aren't curated by a nanny state technology or mass media. They're being left to starve or thrive, live or die at the whim of an industrial economy. Good old days, eh? Hang on, there's something happening on the stage.
Here we are again!
Say something original.
Well, what's the point if all you want to do is join in?
Where's the Irishman? We want Paddy.
Well, Paddy couldn't come tonight. He's got extra shifts digging out a new tunnel.
What, for your ego?
Yeah, all right, settle down, settle down. I must apologise for my friend down there. He's in extra high spirits tonight, because he's just had a day at the seaside. Yeah, whereupon he made a terrifying discovery. He can't swim. No, can't keep his fucking mouth shut long enough. All right, settle down now. Like I said, no Paddy tonight. I'm going to do his song. He'll have to put up with me.
Now, what do you expect, Ruffin?
Bless your lip, maestro, and give me a keynote, if you please. I was a night soil man,
I slaved just like a Turk. And then they built the sewers, and that put me out of work. I had a bath, I changed me shirt, likewise my occupation, with shiny shoes and collar studs and proof of education. I think it. I picked up my leather briefcase and I headed for the station. But the platform master held his nose and cried, "Blimey, you smell ripe. Hang on, son, I know your type. You'll not get in my carriage, not while I'm in charge. You want to get to Harwich, you best jump on a barge, or get back to the slums where you've been giving it the lodge. This railway isn't for the likes of you." So talk me through it again. I have to find a friend to explain why these directions are so clear. I've been down every line, I've followed every sign, and you can't get there from here. A wealthy country girl came to see another world. I met her on a stroll down Regent Lane. We got on so well, she didn't mind me smell. Apparently her father smells the same. My heart was beating strong, I knew she was the one. We stole a kiss while walking in the zoo. But when she heard about me past, she ran away so fast that elephants roared and monkeys started to move. So talk me through it again. I have to find a friend to explain why these directions are so queer. The guidebook is to blame, every page the same. You can't get there from here. I went to see the priest to get some help at least, and find out if the good book had a clue. He said, "Repent your sin, you'll be forgiven then of all the things the devil made you do. I know you carry a pong, so sing the Saviour's song. The smell will go away and you'll be clean. You will hear the trumpet sound when they lay you in the ground, but you can't get to heaven from Bethnal Green. So talk me through it again. I have to find a friend to explain why these directions are so queer. I've studied every line, same thing every time. You can't get there from here." I nicked his silver plate and made good my escape, but coppers came to sling me in the stew. Next day I've been caught. The judge says, "Here's a thought. Transportation's not a system used no more, it's true. But for you, 10 years in Aussie land, your debts will surely pay." So next morning on a steamer, all in chains, I sailed away. But the Aussies kicked me backside out of Sydney Harbour Bay, saying this great land doesn't want the likes of you. Talk me through it again. I have to find a friend to tell me why this journey is so queer. The charts are to blame, they always say the same. You can't get there from here. Yeah. Talk me through it again. I have to find a friend to explain why these directions are so queer. I've been down every line, I've followed every sign, but what got you here won't get you there. You can't get there from here. You can't get there from here.
Hey, laddie, what are you doing in here?
I don't know. You shoved me through the door.
You're on at the Hippodrome in 15 minutes.
The Hippodrome? So how come you brought me to the Empire?
Well, I got confused, didn't I?
Jesus Christ, piss up in a broom.
You're on with Johnny Angel and the host.
The host? Oh, wait a minute. If that's the Stuart Sutcliffe gig, you must be talking about John Lennon's
band. Hey, that's the kiddie.
Well, you've stuffed it, mate. The Hippodrome's right over the other side of town. We're never going to make it in 15 minutes, not through this crowd.
No need to worry about that.
come outside and meet my brand new Royal Enfield motorcycle.
Yeah, lovely. Why does it sound like a flipping helicopter?
Relax, laddie. With tonight's feed, you'll soon be able to afford all the expensive sound effects you need.
Oh, Margot.
Jump on now. We don't want to be late.
Well, as Virgil ploughs through the town centre crowd, upsetting most and nearly killing more than a few, I get a chance to observe the matrix and the architecture of the game. It all seems to be about tribes, crowds, little subcultural knots of young people from every period in the post-war 20th century, and they're all desperately searching for a soundtrack to their lives. There's a bunch of Teds that just wandered in front of us. Oh, careful, lad. I know where they're going. I'll bet Jerry Lee or Chuck are in town somewhere. Now it's Skiffle Kids outside the Two Eyes Coffee Bar. I'll bet they'll be waiting to see a local sensation, Tommy Steele, Cliff or Wee Willie Harris. We screech around another corner. We're in Oxford Street now, racing past Humphs. There's college kids, blues and trad fans. Could be Chris Barber, Alexis Corner, or maybe Big Bill Brunsey. Oh, over there, look. It's the old roundhouse. We must have leapt forward an entire decade. There's flares, greatcoats, caftans and the smell of patchouli, all waiting in the rain for Led Zeppelin's first ever London gig. Oh, over there. Punks are spilling out into the street outside the Vortex Club. Look, Sid Vicious has just smacked Danny Baker right in the mouth. Round one more corner we screech, and we're not even in London anymore. This is Harlem, and that's Birdland. A line of sharply dressed bebop celebrities stand outside the door to worship at the feet of the great Charlie Parker. Anyway, Virgil flips the bike around into a side alley, and at the other end it's 1963. Wrapped in a long crocodile of excited teenagers is the New Street Hippodrome.